Welcome back to the Mojo Podcast with me, Richard Stokes. I hope wherever you are, you've been able to get some sunshine on your face and take some time to just be you. I've been talking to lots of people, guests, clients, friends, about finding or more likely making time in the day just for you. And being yourself was a subject last time out, and thank you for the generous reaction to my chat with the wonderful Mark Shaler. When people say they find this podcast inspiring, thought-provoking and helpful, well, that just reaffirms why I'm doing it, so thank you so much. And on to this week. Well, I have something new for you this week. Not just one amazing guest, but two. Not just one Mojo story, but two Mojo stories. We're talking about being an entrepreneur and doing that with a friend, with a partner. With so many people starting their own businesses right now, whether this has been a long-held ambition or something of a necessity. Indeed, the professional women's network Albright found that one in four women were planning to start their own business, and 61% of women were planning a major career change. So for many reasons, I wanted to explore the entrepreneurial mindset and the mojo required, in my guest case, to leave behind what looked like some of the best jobs in the world, to start from scratch and to build a new brand. Steph Jordan and Tim Etherington Judge are the co-founders of Avalen, a Calvados from Normandy in France. They have each had stellar careers in the drinks industry, working hard, rising up the ranks in huge global entities such as Diageo. Steph was the global brand ambassador for Tanqueray Gin, and Tim did the same job for Bulleit Whisky. On paper, these were amazing roles. They were flying first class around the world, staying in five-star hotels, drinking in the world's best bars and eating in great restaurants. But the food they needed for their souls was missing. They found they had to almost fake their mojo to make sure it was a 10 at all times. And the care they needed from the company they work for was absent. They each talk candidly about their work life and the lack of balance. And Tim shares a highly personal account of what led him to make change. So there is a content warning here, as this episode does contain references to suicide. We go deep on this one, and both Tim and Steph speak highly transparently about their journey to setting up Avalen, why they did it, and how they have set out to do it in the right way, putting care at the core. Care for the planet and for people, and how this brand is a wonderful combination of both of them, of their experience, passion, and personality. And being who they are, and working as they work, they share an abundance of tips for budding entrepreneurs. There are so many lessons in here that I just know you're going to benefit from. So thank you to Tim and Steph for joining me, especially as this was mid-apple harvest in Normandy, so a really busy time. And clearly a key time for a product that contains only apple, water, and thyme. And in that, there's a lesson for all of us, I think. The sense of we reap what we sow, and how much we need to take care of what you plant now, as you will harvest this later. I love this conversation. Of course, as a three-way chat, we occasionally talked over each other, but it really flows, as does the Cornish rain on the roof of Tim's studio at one point, but it's very atmospheric. And dear listener, myself, Tim and Steph decided we wanted to give something back given this entrepreneurial story. So please listen all the way through the episode to the outro for details of an offer. From me, I'm offering a free 90-minute business coaching session to anyone starting out their entrepreneurial journey. And Tim and Steph are also offering out a bottle of wonderful Avalen too. And having tasted it, it's bloody amazing. So enjoy the episode and do listen out for that offer at the end. And as ever, please do remember to share this episode with your friends, leave a 5-star rating and write that short review on Apple Podcasts. Over to the episode. Hello, welcome back to the Mojo Podcast. And as I said in the intro, this is a first for the Mojo Podcast. Not just one amazing guest, but two amazing guests, two Mojo stories that have come together and have created a new brand and indeed a new way of doing business. So I've got Tim in Cornwall. I've got Steph in Amsterdam. So Tim, to start with, how was your mojo today out of 10?
I would say today out of 10, probably about a 6.3. I'm pretty upbeat and pretty happy today, but because I was on a webinar in the US at 3 a.m. this morning, and I got to bed at about 5 and then was up again at 9, so I haven't had enough sleep. And as we'll discuss later, sleep is one of the things that I am pretty anal about when it comes to maintaining my mojo and my overall health. So I haven't had great sleep, so I'm feeling a bit weird today. Generally very positive, but just not my usual energetic self.
Right, so a bit jaded from an enforced late night. And we're just saying that was because an event that is usually obviously run in real life, face-to-face, but taking place remotely like so many events these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Tales of the Cocktail, which is normally one of the world's biggest drinks festivals, held in New Orleans every year in July. But because of the pandemic, it's been converted into a digital festival running in October. So it's up at 3, doing a webinar all about sustainability within the drinks industry.
Right. And we're going to talk a lot about that on today's episode. And Steph, over to Amsterdam. How are you today? How's your mojo?
Well, my mojo, and I was feeling a little bit mellow, but I'm still going with a 7. And the only reason for that is because I have quite an internal dialogue with myself, which is pretty ongoing. And I set my alarm for a spinning class at 7 a.m. and I chose to turn the alarm off, roll over and move the spinning class to 12. And so with that kicks in a little bit of self-guilt, and you know, you eventually have to talk yourself into being okay and kind. So it's a 7, and I'm just observing the changing of seasons here in Amsterdam, which I always find to be a beautiful thing, but it definitely does alter your kind of mood and your flow.
Right, got it. So yeah, it's a time of change seasonally. We've gone through lots of changes as well, and we'll come onto a lot of that for you guys. Lots of change in terms of what you've been doing career-wise and entrepreneurially. And when I talk about mojo, this essence, Tim, what comes up for you? I mean, you've mentioned that sleep is something that's important to your mojo, but what is mojo to you?
For me, it's very much the kind of feeling that I have from the work that I do. It's that feeling of purpose. You know, getting up in the morning and going to work, knowing that what I'm doing during that day is hopefully, to some degree anyway, helping to make a better world. And that's what really kind of gives me a feeling of mojo, is that that kind of that positive feeling and that of having purpose in life. You know, I'm not just going to work to make some money or to sell some shit. You know, I'm trying to have a positive impact upon biodiversity with Avalen. I'm trying to build a healthier, happier hospitality industry with Healthy Hospo. And that gives me a real feeling of mojo and purpose, I would say. Mm.
And do you notice times when, you know, you said it's a very precise 6.3 today, but do you notice when it ebbs and flows a little bit, your mojo?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very aware of my emotions and my feelings. I was first diagnosed with depression at the age of 16. Mm. So it's something I've lived with my whole life. And, you know, as you grow older and you get to understand yourself a lot more, I'm very aware now of the you know, kind of my changing mental patterns, you know, what affects them. I can see things coming from the distance. I would say I'm very aware and understanding of my mojo and my kind of emotional state.
Tim, there's just a little bit of background noise, I think.
Nothing that I can do anything about, unfortunately. Okay. I don't have the power to stop rain.
Is it a rain?
And just to the listeners, I'm actually sitting in a shed at the bottom of the garden. So since lockdown, I've moved back to our family home, and we've set up an office at the end of the garden in one of the old sheds, which has been fantastic and a great way to separate work from life. But the weather today is truly abysmal. So I do apologize about the sound of rain.
If only you could TikTok filter it. There is a TikTok filter where you stop rain. It's quite impressive, actually.
I'm a 43-year-old man. I don't know how TikTok works.
Well, given a lot of our target citizens are on there, it might be something you should play around with.
Nope. I saw that David Attenborough's joined Instagram today. There's one post and a million followers already.
Oh, I'll make it a million and one.
And Steph, you're also, I believe, also in the rain, in seasonal changing Amsterdam. And same question back to you then on Mojo. What's coming up for you when you think about that? That word.
I think for me, it goes back to this kind of your higher self and tapping into true you. And I suppose I'd almost replace the word mojo with almost like your essence of your soul. But what I mean by that is, as you go by your day, you'll observe many times where you're just, you know, either having some sort of prejudice because of some societal upbringing, or, you know, you're reacting in a way with your chimp and maybe not with your human brain. And so I think Mojo is very much around trying to connect at all times with that higher sense of self and try and be that true you versus, you know, the you that's full of the conditioning, the you that goes, oh, well, it's raining, so I'm in a bad mood. Well, why? You know, why is rain bad? It's not. Embrace it. Enjoy it. You know, it is the changing of seasons, and it's essential for all the crops around the world. So that's how I see Mojo.
Got it. So really, really tuned in to the real self, the higher self, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, and I think back to Tim's point, it is around observation. I think if you really stop and think about how you're feeling, it's quite interesting because you can quite easily recalibrate and retune yourself. And it can be as simple as, you know, going to a spin class and getting that hit of endorphins, or lighting a candle and making a nice cup of tea. There's lots of ways that you can tune and kind of re-vibrate your mojo into a higher state.
And I guess, you know, we are dealing with some rain today, but when we're talking about, you know, and we will talk a lot about Avalon and how it came to be birthed and be created, apples are at the core of it. And, you know, the rain is vital for growth. And the bees as well.
They are. Without bees, we would be in quite a bit of a predicament and would be eating a lot of bread, wouldn't we, Tim?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, our humble pollinators really do bring colour to the world. You know, without them, not only would we not have any delicious food to eat, there'd be no coffee, which I've been surviving on today. You know, there'd be no citrus, there'd be no pepper, there'd be no delicious fruits and vegetables that we love to eat. There'd also be no flowers, you know, because flowers and bees have co-evolved
together.
You know, and without one, there isn't the other. You know, there was a time in Earth's history, if you go back millions of years, when there was a world full of vegetation and plants, but there were no flowers because there were no insects. So, you know, we have to thank the insect pollinators for so much of the beauty in the world, as well as the delicious food that we eat and delicious abalone that we can drink.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and it's a nice time to be talking because we're in the middle of harvest, even though we're not there in person. We've got a lot of imagery and videos coming in from the distillery in Normandy. And, you know, if you think of autumn and that abundance of crops that are coming in, it is really a fantastic season, where you kind of are starting to enjoy some of the seeds that you seeded back in spring, and it's all kind of coming into fruition right now. And it's looking great. It's a beautiful harvest.
Wonderful. Hopefully a very bountiful one, so there's plenty of opportunity for more Avalon. And we're going to talk more about the background to the brand shortly, but I wanted to just get into a little bit of both of your backstories. And you talked about sort of this idea of co-evolution, actually, Tim, when you were talking about the bees. And it feels to me almost there's a co-evolutionary story here, because it did take the two of you coming together to create this brand and stepping away from what sounds like amazing jobs, amazing careers in different areas of the drinks industry. So we just talk about that. Tim, can you jump in first in terms of what brought you to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been in the hospitality industry all my life, you know, following in my father's footsteps. But I guess the Avalen story really started when Steph and I met. And Steph always forgets exactly when we met. But we met on a cruise ship in the middle of the Mediterranean, which sounds a bit weird. But Diageo run this global cocktail competition called World Class every year. And it's the biggest, most prestigious cocktail competition in the world. And all the way back in 2013, it was hosted on the cruise ship Azamara Journey in the Mediterranean. So it went from Nice to Monaco to Saint-Tropez to Ibiza and finished in Barcelona. And I was on the boat running the bars. And Steph was working as a brand ambassador in Spain and was the kind of chaperone for the Spanish contestant, David Rios, who went on to actually win the entire competition, a fantastic bartender and a really, really lovely human. So that's where we first met. And then, you know, we formed a friendship and our working relationships got closer. I joined the Africa team and then Steph joined the Africa team as well and was based in the idyllic paradise of Reunion Island.
A sharp infested island with an active volcano. But yes, it was a very nice island.
Paradise.
Yeah, I was stuck in Whitechapel, so I would definitely take Reunion over Whitechapel any day of the week. And then we both ended up at Diageo in, as you say, these roles that sound amazing. So I was the global ambassador for Bulleit American whiskey, and Steph was the global ambassador for Tanqueray Gin, a little known brand.
So what just to jump in, what does a global ambassador do?
Many, many things. Things that are difficult to quantify for a corporate, but ultimately anything from advocacy, education, training, hosting, you know, visits at the distillery, creating brand home experiences, developing global drink strategies, judging competitions. What else would we do, Tim?
Anyone outside of the industry, what we did was drink for a living.
We did.
And that's what anyone really saw.
Well, that's why, I guess, why I asked the question. Thanks, Steph, for going through that, you know, a long list of elements to the role.
We did actual things.
Actual things, yeah. Not just drinking for a living.
No, not really.
No. But because they're such multifaceted roles that kind of sit across different departments, actually gave us a lot of the skills that we now use on Avalen. Mm. Yeah, there's a little bit of marketing in there. There's a little bit of sales in there. There's quite a lot of brand advocacy in there. There's a lot of kind of spirit expertise and understanding categories. And a lot of that we've used when we launched Avalen. And I don't think that if we just had a regular marketing role or if we'd just been in sales, we would have had the necessary skill set to have launched Avalen the way that we did.
I fundamentally agree. And on top of which, you know, we were punching above our weight in terms of our pay grade, in terms of the people that we were interacting with the business. You know, we were always with the highest stakeholders, especially when we go into markets, we'd always meet with the local GMs. And so we ended up at a much higher level of the business, I think, which is something that we use today to kind of harness the power of Avalen.
Right. So everything that you learn, all the exposure you got, and sounds like an amazing network that you built up during this time in corporate world, has really helped you now as entrepreneurs, by the sounds of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes and no. I think the funny thing about the corporate world is you do become very specialized. And so, you know, when you do step into entrepreneurship, you need a lot of versatile skill sets. And so the network, and I think more than anything, the kind of kudos. So because of our backgrounds, when we did launch Avalen, there was an established trust that we weren't going to fuck it up. So it's given us a pedigree, which we, you know, we cashed in when creating Avalen. I think today people no longer need to reference our past because we've already got 18 months in the bank and some clear significant win. But definitely it gave us the credibility to do what we did.
So you've talked about the, you know, your worlds came together on that cruise ship in the Mediterranean. I can absolutely picture that. And then you obviously got closer and you were talking. But at what point did you make that jump? What was it that happened? What was enough for you to walk away from what sounds like really wonderful jobs?
You want to go first, Steph?
No, because I suppose my leaving came off the back of yours, really. You know, it was a culmination of many things.
The
short version of the story is our values were no longer aligned and we allowed ourselves to be true to our values.
If your values weren't quite being lived up to, maybe even compromised, tell me a bit more about that.
Well, we both care extremely and, you know, we can care about people, we can care about the brands, we can care about the planet, we care, but when we care, it's very deep and emotional for Tim and myself. And we cared for an organization, which at the end of the day is nameless and faceless. And at some point there can be a disconnect. And I think you can do a lot for a corporate, which when you're, and I joined as a grad, I was 22. So I was, you know, I bought into everything. And it got to a point where actually maybe you needed something back from them aside from just, you know, a salary and a role. You were looking for a more emotional support. And I think, you know, neither one of us found it when we needed it the most, which reinforced our friendship ultimately and allowed for us to make the difficult choices that we did, which today, looking back, were definitely the right things for us to do.
Yeah, I think care is a great word. There's always a temptation to look at corporations as these big faceless, soulless beasts, but they are filled with people. And I think that, you know, you don't leave a company, you leave people. And my particular experience, much more dramatic of a leaving of the company than Steph's, in part was caused by that lack of care from the people around me. You know, before there was a team that did care, you know, and there were some really lovely people. And I was fortunate enough to be a part of a team that was so close-knit that we still hang out today, you know, and we still are in contact and spend time together, even though all of us have gone and left the company and moved on to different things. But it was that lack of care that really, for me personally, was the straw that broke my back. You know, I had this job that everyone outside of the job thought was amazing, you know, flying around the world, you know, 100 flights a year, traveling to exotic destinations, drinking whiskey, going to the world's best bars. So a lot of people are like, this is the dream job. But from the inside, it's 250 days of the year away from home, semi-permanently jet lagged, terrible nutrition because you're always eating in restaurants or getting room service, complete lack of exercise because you're always tired. Then the loneliness and isolation with those roles, because whilst you're meeting lots of people and you're being very social, you are not getting what you really need, the food you need for your soul, which is kind of really, really strong, close friends, because you're always away and they start forgetting about you. And then
bear in mind, you're always on. You must always be at 10 mojo. Your mojo is 10.
Always. Right.
Yeah. So you go from this, like, when you're in market and you're seeing people, you have to be at a 10. And then when you get back to your hotel room, you just crash. So it's this constant up, down, up, down.
Fake mojo, by the sounds of it. Yeah, absolutely.
We used to call it putting the mask on. And then when the internal team was broken apart and stopped caring, that's when it all fell apart for me. So 2016, November, the Athens Bar Show. It was the end of a really busy year. Biggest year I'd had of travel, you know, kind of flitting back and forth across continents. There was some personal stuff going on as well in my life. And that lack of, you know, that care from within the company had completely disappeared. So the bar show in Athens, I went to do my talk on bourbon to the bartenders. Then went back to my hotel room and tried to commit suicide. with a bottle of whiskey and prescription painkillers. And that was my rock bottom. That was my complete loss of hope in the future. And also the moment that really changed my life for the better. Because, you know, getting through that period and beginning to talk publicly about my struggles with my mental health and also with the industry, you know, and the way that the industry pushes you and what we expect and just this kind of toxic masculine culture that we have, and how it pushed me to the point of trying to end my life. And I guess I did that needed what I needed from that, that public display of emotion was lots of messages of love and support from people to try and kind of lift me out of this kind of phase I was in. And I got all of that and that did help. But what really changed my life was I just got hundreds and hundreds of messages from people telling me their stories, you know, their stories of struggles with their mental health, with the industry, and with all sorts of things, you know, either personal stories themselves or of close friends, just hundreds of these messages. And it just got me kind of thinking, if there are so many, I thought I was alone and I was the only one struggling with this, but here are so many people, some that I know, some peers within the industry, some complete strangers, so many people are struggling and yet no one is talking about this within our drinks industry. So what kind of man would I be if I just walked away from the industry? You know, my therapist and the doctor and everyone was saying, you need to get out. This is very toxic for you. Mm. But in the back of my mind, I was just like, I can't turn my back on these people that need me. You know, I've been through this. I've got to at least try and see if I can do something to help this situation. You know, we keep losing people to suicide within the industry. Or to burnout or to alcohol related deaths. And it shouldn't be this way. You know, people shouldn't risk their lives and risk their health simply to make drinks or to cook food for people. You know, we're not saving lives in hospitality. We're just trying to make other people's lives a little bit happier and more enjoyable. And you shouldn't have to risk your health just to do that. So that was a real kind of turning point for me that made me step away from Diageo, where I wasn't really myself. You know, it was a period of time when I wasn't being true to myself. I was chasing this kind of glamorous job and this glitzy jet set lifestyle, and I wasn't being me. I wasn't being true to my core values. So leaving Diageo and starting this not-for-profit called Healthy Hospo really was kind of like me trying to reconnect with something internally that's very, very important to who I am as a person.
Well, Tim, I mean, thank you for sharing that, you know, deeply personal, very honest story. And thank you, you know, I don't work in hospitality, but thank you for not walking away as you could have from the industry and doing something obviously very much for good and helping.
I couldn't have done it any other way. And it's, you know, it's also helps me, you know, because it does give me that purpose when I wake up every morning. It helps get me out of bed. It helps maintain my mojo and feel like that I have a place in the world rather than, you know, just flogging someone else's booze for a big company so shareholders can make some money.
And I guess this is the bit I said right up top about, you know, you've come together to create this new brand. And you're doing it in a new way. So, Steph, can you tell us a little bit about that? You know, so this is not just another spirits brand, but you are doing this in quite a different way, aren't you?
So, I think when it comes to creating Avalon, this is where there really is that collaboration between Tim and myself. Ultimately, as per Tim's explanation, he wasn't being true to himself, and that was definitely true for me. And it took a while to kind of reformat and allow myself to be me. And I never really talk much about it, and this won't be the forum to do so, but there is something very difficult about being a woman in those roles, especially in spirits. And on top of which, you know, my my hashtag is drinking out loud. I am a loud half Colombian Latina lady, and I'm very vocal and very opinionated, and that also can have some
consequences. That's the truth.
So I think what happened was, when I left, I actually did a stint with another drink startup, which was a Colombian rum brand called Lechicera, and I very quickly realized how different a startup universe was from a corporate. You lose your ways of working, you know, you lose that really, well, the professionalism and the incredibly smart and talented but well-trained people that you work with in the corporate. So when you're in a startup environment, it's very different, and it is also very challenging. And I realized very soon on with this startup that I was going to have to give it absolutely everything and check in, you know, all of my social currency, my entire network, put my image up again for another brand. And that wasn't right. So I needed to quickly retune, recalibrate, and find a way forward for myself. And then I started going down the route of wanting to set up my own brand. And then I was in a whole kind of, I was raised in Burgundy. So I was down in France with my parents, and I was back into my wonderful world of wine, which was my first love. And at this point, Tim had started to mature with Healthy Hospo, and was kind of seeing the evolution of the platform. But Tim, you are sometimes like a magpie. You like shiny new things, and you are the Elon Musk of drinks. So you're always wanting to innovate and create new things. And that's where Tim sort of reached out to me and said, "Steph, look, I know you want to do something, and I know you've got the skill set to do it. And there's no one else in the world that I would ever even consider doing something with. But how about we check in our Adagio paychecks and do something different?" And so we quickly worked out how much we had, which wasn't that much, but we put them together and it became a little bit more. Yeah. And then with that little bit more, we basically approached it from a question, which was, okay, if we're going to do something, we have to do something with purpose, something that leaves a positive legacy, something that's true to you, something that's true to me. And we started kind of mapping this all out and asking all the various questions. And the sort of short version is, we ended up in some orchards in Normandy. I was, you know, yapping around French and trying to work out how we could find a distiller to work with. And Tim was roaming around the orchards looking at the bees. And we just
trying to find some vegan food.
Trying to find some vegan food, getting very
in France.
Every restaurant.
Not easy.
Not easy.
Which I would phone ahead and specifically request, and then he would still end up with eggs and mayonnaise. Yeah, it's such a difficult moment to describe, because it just happens. And everything just made it happen. The universe literally said, "This is your distiller. This is your. This is what you're doing, and you're going to do it this way." And the answers were there. We just had to ask the questions.
Right. So it was all there, kind of waiting for you. But it was asking the question of how are we going to do this.
Really ridiculous if we think back to checking out the competitive set and there having been no innovation whatsoever in this category. When there is innovation in absolutely every spirits category around the world, people have brought back mezcal. You know, people are drinking the most bitter Italian vermouth. Like, the most sort of obscure things are becoming mainstream. And somehow, you know, in the heart of Europe, the second most visited region of France, Normandy, the epicenter of the Second World War, the humble apple, and we're not drinking it. It's bonkers.
But now people are.
They are.
Certainly drinking Avalon anyway. So that you mentioned, I just wanted to track back slightly, you know, coming together as a team and doing this together. How important was that for both of you?
It's everything.
Yeah, it's as both a solo entrepreneur and doing Avalon with Steph, they're such different beasts. And, you know, it's a much more lonely process and a much more difficult process doing it solo. As I do with Healthy Hospo. So as Steph said, I kind of very much like ideas, and I move from one thing to the other, and Steph holds me to account and kind of drags me back and keeps my feet on the ground and focused on a single thing, which is proven to be extremely valuable in the Avalen process. And I think I also kind of help with her as well. We're very different personalities, and I think that that's part of our success, that we are so different.
Definitely. And ultimately, you know, we hold each other accountable. We give each other kind of semi-deadlines, and we work not just for ourselves, but we work for each other, right? And if Tim asks me to do something, then it kind of goes right up onto my to-do list because, you know, I know the benefit of the both of us. I mean, WhatsApp's from me saying, can you do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this, and don't forget this. But it is fantastic. And it's difficult as well. And, you know, we have different ideas at times, but I think it also allowed us to create, as you say, we birthed a child, but we did, because it's a whole entire own thing. Avalen is a blend of us. It isn't nor Tim nor me. And when we were briefing in the agencies around design, look and feel, we just ended up writing a personality. We said Avalen is someone who's caring and outdoorsy, someone who likes to have fun, that is, you know, super eco-conscious. And as we wrote this out, we just said, well, you know, you tell us what that looks like. And it's a very different process than if you're going down it just by yourself and you kind of want, you know, this product to look like you or something, which we didn't. We wanted it to be right for the opportunity, right for the market, right for our, you know, we won't call them consumers, right for the citizens, and to tell the tale, which is, you know, at the end of the day, literally, you know, the food and drink that we put into our bodies have huge consequences, both on our health but also on the health of the planet. And in the food industry, that's quite apparent, but in drinks, especially in alcohol, that hasn't quite trickled down yet. And there is such a thing as pouring with purpose, and there is such a thing as, you know, drinking planet positive brands.
What's coming through for me here is this word that you both used earlier around care, you know, the care that's gone into the creation of the brand, but care at the heart of what this brand is about in terms of its sustainability and its ethos.
Avalen is definitely Steph and I in a bottle. And it's the two things that we do care about and are very passionate about. So it's my environmental passion. I gave up eating meat 21 years ago for environmental reasons. And I've long been an advocate of environmental protection. I've chained myself to petrol pumps and protested against kind of companies that have been complicit in climate change for most of my life. And for Steph, you know, Avalen represents the terroir of France and the getting back to the land and everything that she grew up with in Burgundy. So it's Avalen really is that the bringing those two worlds together into a single product that we really, really care about massively.
And what's been, you know, this entrepreneurial journey that you're both on? I mean, and which is relatively recent in your work lives, because I see you're both working for pretty big corporates before. What's been the hardest thing? Obviously, you've had the benefit of working together, but what have the hardships been?
Being permanently broke.
Right.
I think hardships are really, it's a big word. And I don't know that there have been hardships, because once you make the commitment to do this, it does become your calling. Obviously, you know, we're going through a global pandemic. Tim and I can't see each other. You know, we've had little scary moments of trying to finance the company. There's lots of you know, kind of obstacles and hurdles to jump through. But ultimately, we have gone from success to success. We've received so much positivity, like overwhelming positivity, especially at launch from the industry and our kind of colleagues and ex-colleagues. And it has just gone strength to strength. I mean, what would you say? Is that a hardship, Tim? Or do we have hardship?
I don't think hardship is the right word either. I would say that what it has done being an entrepreneur is definitely reframe our views of the world, of what happiness means, of what life is all about. You know, the days at Diageo, it was about, you know, we were obsessed with how much money we earned and how much money people other people earned who were doing the same jobs as us.
Prepare yourself.
Yeah. And how we looked, and what kind of clothes you're wearing. And now it's so different, you know. Like, yeah, I don't earn anywhere near the amount of money that I used to, but that's more than made up for by the fact that I have real purpose in life and real meaning going forward. You know, and I realize that, you know, I don't need all of these things. What really makes me happy is being true to myself. That's the real kind of secret sauce of life, is being yourself as much as possible.
Definitely recalibrate, you know, what life costs. You know, you'd go to hotels and never take soaps. Now I always take soaps. It's a thing. But every little matters. But it's really quite nice, because I realise that I can live off quite good with money. And actually it's really quite nice to see it stretch, and you don't throw food out, and you know, you eat all your veggies and you freeze your herbs, and you are really aware of the value of things. And it's not monetary, but ultimately, you know, you still want to have a lovely, wonderful life and live in somewhere which is pretty and smells nice, and you want to eat good food and drink great drinks. And so you just have to sort of recalibrate, I think, where you spend that energy. And it's for the right reasons. I mean, personally, I think back to even the start of the journey where, you know, I was kind of aware that I was maybe going to want to be a mum, and I'm not a mum yet. And was I going to go down that route? And I was consulting as we were setting this up, and I still consult now so that we, you know, can keep things ticking over. But I realized with consulting, I was selling time. And if I was going to be a mum and I wanted to have a family, I'd need to hold back some of my time for them. So I couldn't have a simple equation whereby money meant time if what I wanted to take back was time. And so with Avalon, actually, by having a commodity almost, you know, I can go to sleep and we will still sell bottles. And eventually this will grow and become big enough, and actually we can bring people in that can continue to tick it over and then free up our time to go and do the other things. So Tim wants to go save the world. I'd like to grow a couple of nice cute bears, you know. But that's what it's about. I think it is really creating something that allows you to do the other great things that you want to do with your life.
Got it. So it's almost this ability, or the win here, is just reworking, reframing your life the way you want it to be. And you know, the other big thing that's coming up from here is the power of perspective that you've both got because of all the experiences you've had before this. So if you'd gone into creating Avalon, I don't know, when you were 25, you'd probably feel quite different about, and I appreciate hardship was not the right word, but the challenges that are put in front of you versus, you know, all the previous work experience you've had. And it's all, as I said, now the perspective you've got is probably very rich and very helpful. Is that fair?
That's really vital. And I still am the sort of person that will go down every single sort of trodden path just to double check if it's the right thing to do. So I bought a house, and I can assure you, I don't think it's the right thing to do. I think it's a total trick, this whole mortgage game. But I had to do it. I had to check for myself. Now I've done it. I have an opinion. And, you know, I might pivot and do things differently in the future. But we did it. We did the big gig, right? We traveled the world. We were in first class. We did all the bright lights. And so, great, now we can go down another route and actually feel totally, I suppose, at ease, you know, like that we're not missing out on things. Mm. And that might not be everyone's way of doing it. But I like to double check the trodden path and just be sure that, cool, that's not for me. And then I'll go find a new way to do it.
Mm. So on that theme, the trodden path, because the way I see you doing this, you're definitely playing a different game here in terms of, you know, how you're working in the spirits industry, which is obviously huge, it's colossal, but you're doing it your way. I just wanted to touch on some of the things that you're doing that's very different, perhaps, the way a corporate might do this in terms of, you know, the collaborations that you've got into, how you use networks, building community, all of this that I think might throw up some ideas for people. I'm not saying people are all going to be launching spirit brands, but we're all thinking maybe of doing something a little bit differently.
So I think one thing that's been really important to us is that working for a big corporate taught us how things are done well. And perhaps more importantly, it taught us how corporates do things badly, and how working as entrepreneurs, we can do things differently. You know, there are a lot, you're working for a big corporate, you are very tightly constrained by that's how things are done. This is how we do things at that company. And often you kind of sit and go like, well, that seems like a really stupid way to do this. So then when you leave, you've got all of these ideas in your head of like, well, that's a really stupid way to do that. And that doesn't work. So if we try and do it this way and try and do it that way. And I think that's probably been more valuable to us.
Yeah, definitely.
Than the things that we learn that the Azure do well.
And an example, like a really clear one, is when you're in that corporate mindset, it's almost like you're in the trenches and you're going to war. So anyone else in your industry is a competitor. And by they are your enemy. You hate them. You do not talk to them. You get upset with anyone that orders anything which isn't in your portfolio. And it's really bizarre because actually these people are just like you. They're passionate about the same things as you do. They do almost the exact same job. You know, it's just the model which changes. And the power of Avalon is the power of our collaborations. You know, we very consciously are going to keep our independence because we do not want to step on anyone's toes. We don't want to become anyone's competitor. We want to be seen as the company and the brand that ignites and lights the way for sustainability in drinks. We want our competitors to tell us that we inspire them to be better. And we want everyone to be able to work with us. And I think that's really, really important. And that's quite the opposite of what we had been shown before.
Got it. So this sense of collaboration versus competition at the heart of it.
Well, especially on this journey that we all really need to get on, which is, you know, designing our way of life to be more in equation with the planet. We did a webinar and it was all around the fact that we do not have a waste problem. We quite simply have a design problem. And that, you know, the human race is perfectly capable of coming up with all the solutions that we need to live in harmony with Mother Earth. But getting everyone on that journey is what's, you know, taking some time. The collaboration piece, you hear it more and more and more whenever you look at any industry that is looking to have a positive impact. They always talk about collaboration.
Collaboration has been really important. Another thing that's been really important for us is, I know Steph mentioned Elon Musk earlier, but one of the reasons why his companies have been so innovative and so important in the growth of the sustainable movement and also space travel is that whole first principles thinking. No, it's the assumption that everything you do is wrong. And what you're trying to find is the least wrong way of doing things. And that is something that we apply at Avalon. And it, you know, when we started out, it was the question of, you know, we had our mission of trying to create the world's most planet positive spirits brand. And applying that first principles thinking was right, which is the least wrong way to make alcohol from an environmental point of view. You know, so analyzing all of the different raw materials that are used to make alcohol across a number of metrics and finding out which one was the least harmful to the planet. So applying that kind of thinking, which big companies, particularly in the drinks industry, don't innovate. They've lost the ability to innovate or think creatively in that way. So they've just outsourced their entire innovation to small startups. Being a small startup, we've got that freedom to really try and do things differently, apply some very, very different thinking. And looking outside of the drinks industry, we haven't talked about this yet, but it's something that we're both really passionate about is we benchmark ourselves against companies like Patagonia, like Tesla, like Beyond Meat, you know, these companies that are pushing forward the notion of people, planet, and profit. And being successful companies at the same time, because we don't see that happening within the drinks industry. We don't see any real brands to aspire to within the drinks industry yet. We see lots of them outside of the drinks industry.
And what's so true about what you're saying, Tim, is I'm thinking back to a conversation I had with someone just a year ago, quite a senior person, marketing person. They said to me, "Steph, where did you guys get the insights for Avalon?" And I was like, "Well, what do you mean the insights?" They're like, "You know, what did you work with an agency who told you about, you know, what's your target consumer?" And I was like, what are you on about? There are no insights. This is, we know this is right. This is what we need to do. This is what we believe in. This is what we're passionate about. The insight is that we need to be having really amazing, fantastic, good tasting drinks, but that they need to be bringing back biodiversity, saving bees, you know, and doing good. And then they just sort of looked at me like I was crazy. But there was no insight. There was nothing but, you know, us wanting to do something that we think the world needs.
I guess that is the insight, isn't it? It's you don't need, like, you know, because everything is volume driven at big companies, they rely so heavily on that data of, all right, what are people drinking, where they're drinking, and they never, it's very blinkered view. They never have that chance to kind of stop, take the blinkers off and look at what's going on around the world and going, oh shit, we've lost 60% of biodiversity in the last 50 years. Climate change is wreaking havoc. Maybe we should try and do something about this.
The bee's been declared the most valuable living species in the world. Yeah, it's not. And these are headlines that are making the front page news, but somehow they were being ignored. Another thing that we do, and I love, is our transparency values. When, you know, you work in the spirits industry, a lot of things is behind closed doors. And it's quite funny because we live in a world whereby people can find out absolutely anything. And a lot of people actively try and call you out. And so for us, transparency was number one. So we work for blockchain technology. Our lab analysis is available for anyone to see. We've just built in a QR code on our labels, which are made from recycled apple pulp, so that you can very quickly find out that we are made of nothing but apples, water, and thyme. But you absolutely don't have to take our word for it. We have a third-party verification system and an amazing partner company called Provenance that will certify that for you.
On the energy behind this, obviously, a lot of it comes... You've talked about the passion behind your purpose to do this differently. What advice would you give to other people who are thinking, and I slightly touched on this earlier, about there are more people either choosing an entrepreneurial route or maybe even being slightly forced to choose an entrepreneurial route because, obviously, in this year especially, a lot of roles are being made redundant, etc. What tips would you give people who are thinking about something that they're probably very nervous about it? There's some barriers in the way. What would your tips be to get started?
So I always like to pull out a Michael Jordan quote when I'm asked this question. And it's probably his most famous quote of, "You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take." We've spoken to people and I've got personal friends that have wanted to become an entrepreneur, wanted to do their own thing for such a long time. And even for me and Steph, you know, we talked about it for a long time, but never took that leap. But once we took the leap and we started something, so why didn't we do this before? Just go for it. You know, don't wait until you've got the most perfect product because it will never be perfect. You know, launch your company, get it out there, and then follow the kind of the tech world and do that iteration. You know, so you have a product, but you're constantly trying to improve the product. It's what we do at Avalon every day. You know, we tell people how long it took us to go from ideation, you know, knowing that we wanted to do something, to launching the product, which was about 9 months, which is unheard of in the drink industry. And people go, "Well, how did you do it so quickly?" And it's just like, well, we made the decision and we just went with it. And we launched a product that we knew was great. Is it perfect? No, not by a million miles. But it's out there in the world. And now it's out there in the world. That gives us the chance to constantly improve it. You know, we've just redesigned the label. We've redesigned the website. We are now in a position where we can do our life cycle carbon analysis. So we can start to improve our environmental performance. So every day, Avalon is getting better and better. And this is the philosophy that is used in the tech world, you know, because software is easily updatable. You can wait too long, you know, and then you may miss the opportunity. So just do it.
That's stolen from someone else, Tim. But you know, everything Tim says, I think, is bang on. And actually, sometimes being pushed out is a good thing. You know, in nature, plants thrive the most when there's a little bit of a struggle, right? The roots have to dig deeper to find water, and that's when some of the magic happens. So I think that's an important thing to consider. For me, my kind of thinking around this is, if you are going to do anything, don't just do it because you want to do it. Like, please try and consider that, you know, there is a legacy to be had. And if you can do something which will have a positive impact and will do some form of good and will help the next person, and whether you just impact one person or 1,000 or 1,000,000, but please try and think about, you know, that side to it. Because again, like, if every human was able to tap into their talent and do something positive for humanity, we would be living in the most incredibly fantastic place. So I think, yeah, I think with entrepreneurship comes also grave responsibility. And if you, I always remember when we were having panic attacks along the way, Tim would say, "Don't worry, the bees will take care of us. We're taking care of the bees will take care of us." But there was something true in that, because what we are doing is greater than just, you know, what we want to do. The energy will protect you and keep you safe, I think, through the storm.
It's a lovely sentiment. So thank you both for sharing, you know, the story of how you came to create Avalon and everything that's going on for you, and this wonderful advice that's come out. Just before we finish, I always like to ask guests for, maybe it's three things that you're doing on a daily basis that's really important to keep your mojo high. Tim, I'm going to start with you, because you've already mentioned one, which is sleep. What else are you doing?
So sleep is number one. It's our human recovery system. So, you know, it's absolutely vital to me to make sure that I get my required sleep. Second one is definitely exercise. We were chatting just before about how important exercise is to me. It's something that I've always used to help manage my mental health, and has always been a consistent part of my daily routine. So being on the bike is my preferred method of getting sweaty. So if I can get out on one of my bikes or running, is really powerful. So those are two really, really big ones for me. And I guess the third one is probably around mindfulness. You know, and it's that taking a little bit of time every day for myself, just to sit down, get away from all distractions, do some breath work, meditation, and just reconnect with myself. Because for the rest of the day, I'm giving my time to other people. So having that time every morning just for me is massively important.
I think the first thing I do every day is getting out of my own head. And getting out of my own head can be anything. It can be through exercise, through meditation. I'm obsessed with the voice of Deepak Chopra. But really that routine of, as I say, kind of tuning my mojo and understanding that I have the control over my mood, I think it's really important, especially as a woman that has hormones, you know, being flung at her left, right and center. It's that bit harder sometimes to step back and observe and get out of your head. So it's something that I do constantly. Another thing for me is, I was raised in the countryside in the rolling hills of the Beaujolais, and I now live in a city. And Amsterdam is a nice city. It is a green city, but I really, really, really need green things around me. So I have to get out for a walk. And if it's pissing it of rain like today, then, you know, just taking some time to water my plants is quite a ritual for me. Watching them grow and seeing their new leaves and how it just bizarre and bonkers nature is, tends to be really, really healing. And the last one would be to connect with a loved one. I need people, and I need, you know, to share that kind of connection, whether that's with my family or close friends. So if I do those three things every day, I tend to feel like I'm a good version of me.
Guys, Tim, Steph, the creators of Avalen, the wonderful Calvados brand that's coming hopefully to a bar near you soon, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your mojo stories and your entrepreneurial story. It's been a joy having you on the show.
Thank you very much for hosting us.
It's funny, I haven't met Tim and Steph in real life, but I just know we'd all have a blast. So I'm really hoping we can meet up sometime in Ibiza in the near future and enjoy a lovely drink together. So this is already a long episode, so I'm going to skip my usual takeouts this time, except to say this: never forget or underestimate the value of your experience. It was Tim and Steph's experience that both created the inspiration for Avalen, but also allowed them to be so successful. You have way more resources, a wider network, and more support than you probably think. So with that in mind, I wanted to set out that offer I mentioned in the intro. I'm increasingly coaching more clients who have walked away from corporate careers like Tim and Steph, many of them creating new brands and startups. It's exciting, it's life-affirming, but clearly it's not easy. So some extra help is always important for accountability, for a way to think out loud, and perhaps to think about what is the next most important thing to do. So I'm offering a free 90-minute business coaching session to anyone who has just launched or is about to launch your own thing. The sector doesn't matter. It's really about your passion for what you're doing. So if you're interested, please do send me a short email to the address in the show notes telling me why you'd like to grab hold of this offer. And I also mentioned that Tim and Steph are very generously giving away a bottle of lovely Avalen. And to win that, all you have to do is to write a short review for the Mojo podcast on Apple Podcasts. It's not about being the first review or the best review. We're going to pick one at random over the next 2 weeks. And the reason we're asking about this is these reviews really help more people discover the Mojo podcast. So thanks to Tim and Steph for helping to support that. Once you've written your review, if you can leave the same review for me on my Instagram page for this episode, then I'll know it's you and I'll be able to contact you. Okay, so thanks again to Tim and Steph. It was great to chat, and I know you'll do great things with Avalen and beyond. Your care for what you're doing, your mojo and your way of working will definitely overcome any challenges that come your way. I really believe that. And thank you everyone for listening to this episode. Please do share this episode with friends. Do leave that 5-star rating, and obviously to give yourself the best chance of winning a bottle of Avalen, please write a magical review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, I hope your mojo continues to flow.